Hello, everybody, and welcome back to 100 Years, 100 Movies. Today is day 20 of the season of The Witch, and today we're talking about killer sharks. So basically, we're talking about Jaws. Now, the thing with Jaws is, before we get into the movie itself, it's based on this novel by Peter Benchley, and I think from what, you know, Shark Week has shown us and, actual research, sharks aren't necessarily these brutal killers that we think of because of the movie Jaws. That's not to say that sharks aren't fucking frightening to begin with, and I think a lot of movies kind of play on that. Jaws was a phenomenal success. Jaws literally created the term blockbuster because there were so many people that lined up to go see this that the line would go around blocks, and then 2 years later, Star Wars cemented it, and we are dealing with the fallout of that type of move, of those two movies in particular, of Jaws and Star Wars, to this day. But it all started with Jaws. Jaws, as I mentioned, came out in 1975, was directed by Steven Spielberg and edited by Verna Fields. And regularly I don't mention editors, but there's a good reason why I mention her, and that's because Jaws is a movie that really works because of its limitations. Steven Spielberg originally wanted to do Jaws with real life sharks, and when he was told that sharks, you know, I guess he thought there was like a shark wrangler like you have for other types of movie animals, and when he was told that no such thing existed, he decided then to use a mechanical shark, which, you know, is all well and good. However, this shark was created for like the tanks on the back lot of a movie theater. But Steven Spielberg had this idea that he wanted this to be shot out in the ocean, in actual salt water. And the shark, which he nicknamed Bruce, started fucking up almost right away. So the reason that Jaws kind of really holds off on showing the shark is because they literally couldn't show the shark. And the decision to really kind of have that restraint is a decision that both Verna Fields and Steven Spielberg have taken credit for. Now, was it Spielberg? Was it Fields? Was it somewhere between? Who knows? Only they know. And, you know, sometimes over time, you start to believe your own bullshit. So as to who actually did it, who knows? But whoever's idea it was, and even if it was a collaboration, and in the end, movies really are a collaboration, it ended up being a genius move. Now, as I mentioned, you know, sharks, the way they're presented in Jaws, really, I think, are what people think of, at least like in pop culture, like kind of like this the cultural zeitgeist is that, you know, sharks are these apex predators that will, you know, chew us up and spit us out in no time. You know, if you go into the ocean, a shark's gonna pop up, you see a shark fin, you're fucked, it's gonna kill you, right? That idea really, I think, started with the Jaws novel and was really just promoted by this movie. And this movie, as I mentioned, was so damn popular that it spawned not only a bunch of Jaws sequels, but a bunch of Jaws imitators, not just in shark movies, but with you name the animal and it's a Jaws movie version. I think last time in an earlier episode, I talked about killer animals and how like Piranha and Orca and you name it, all these other movies with killer animals really almost kind of owe a debt, or at least the giant proliferation of them in the 70s on, owe a debt to Jaws. Jaws is another movie that is just, it's a masterpiece of filmmaking, and a movie that, much like most Spielberg movies, is really enhanced by the musical score by John Williams, like it usually is. And John Williams is great. I mean, his music is super iconic. I mean, the Jaws theme, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, is so iconic that even Baby Shark, which I, sorry parents that bring it up, but Baby Shark, which is from South Korea, and yes, it's the hugest thing in the fucking world among kids, or at least it was a year ago, even that starts off with the Jaws theme. It starts off with the da-da-da-da, and then it goes into the Baby Shark. And if you don't know a Baby Shark, just count yourself blessed and don't leave it at that. You don't know what it is. But in any case, Jaws is just this monster of a movie. We follow these attacks in this small beach community. These incidents in this small beach community, these mysterious deaths that the authorities know are related to a shark, but the politicians, the mayor, don't want to do anything about it because all of this is happening in Amity Island right before the 4th of July weekend, and nobody wants to shut down the beach because it's a big tourist attraction and they need that summer money, coming in to for the town to survive. So the main players of this movie, Sheriff Brody, along with the mayor, end up deciding that the best course of action is basically to not tell people until during a weekend another shark attack occurs and a child is killed. After that, Roy Scheider, and he enlists Richard Dreyfuss Hooper, who is a shark scientist, I forget what they're called, and a local fisherman, Quint, played by Robert Shaw, to hunt down and kill Jaws. And at this point, we're about an hour into the movie, and outside of seeing maybe a fin, maybe the silhouette of a shark, we haven't seen the shark. All we've seen is the aftermath of its snacking, I guess. Eventually, we end up getting to see Jaws, and Jaws is one massive motherfucker. The guys who are on this boat eventually get attacked by the shark, and it's crazy because the thing is, like, this movie revolves around a shark, but really it's more about the relationships that we have with these characters, and we get to know them as the movie progresses. And like, in the end, I mean, there isn't really that many people that are killed by Jaws, if that's what you're looking at for horrific. But the impact of those deaths, I mean, like I said, this is a movie where a child gets eaten because people decide that it's okay to put people at risk because they don't want to, you know, affect the financial security of a town. I mean, Jaws is out there in that even in the 70s, they had this kind of story that really kind of highlights the kind of shit that's been happening this year in 2020 with the pandemic and all the craziness going on. But of course, you know, we have this giant shark that has to be destroyed, which gets blown the fuck up eventually. Jaws is great. I mean, Jaws really resonated because it's just movie magic, really. I mean, this is a movie that I think holds up to this day. And, you know, I say that, but then I don't know, maybe some people might think it's too slow, because it is kind of slow, because movies in the 70s were slower. It was a different time. And Jaws, like I mentioned, is super popular. Jaws was so popular that it it was so popular that it led to three sequels that inexplicably ended up revolving around the sharks trying to get revenge on the Brody family. These are sharks, and they blew one up. What the fuck shark is going to care who killed the main shark in the first movie? But we literally have these set of movies where we end up following in the second movie, we follow Brody's kids, and then in the third movie, Jaws 3D, we are basically in SeaWorld with a shark display and get attacked. A movie that's so notoriously bad that when Michael Caine was asked about why he did Jaws, if he ever saw the movie, and Michael Caine said something along the lines of, "I've never seen Jaws 3, but I've seen the house that it bought for me." So you can kind of see where people were going at for Jaws 3. And then, of course, you have Jaws the Revenge, Jaws 4, which I titled my second season after, and which is literally one of the worst fucking movies ever made. But you know what, man? Like, it's Jaws. What do you expect? I remember a few years ago, I found somebody did a, I guess there probably still is this, a lot of people that like to kind of recut movies, and somebody basically redid Jaws as a, as an exploitation movie, as like a low budget horror movie. And they ended up just splicing in a lot of clips from other Jaws movies and just amping up the amount of blood and set it all to an Iggy Pop song. So it was great. And I mean, had that been what actually Jaws was, it probably wouldn't have been as popular as it turned out being. But, you know, instead we got the Jaws movie that we got, and it led to, over the years, kind of like I said, this proliferation of killer animal movies and the occasional killer shark movies, and some that have been actually pretty good. Some were pretty bad, and some of them are really bad, but I wanted to talk about some other ones that I enjoyed, and a little movie duology that I actually really enjoyed is 47 Meters Down. 47 Meters, the first one, or 47 Meters Down, the first movie, stars Claire Holt and Mandy Moore as sisters Kate and Lisa, who on vacation decide to go on an excursion, and they get lured into a cage to kind of sightsee in the water and look at the sharks, you know, inside the safety of this cage. But the rope that the cage is being lowered on ends up snapping, and they fall 47 to the ocean floor and the area with that, which is 47 meters down. So not only do we have these two women that are in a cage 47 meters down in the water, surrounded by sharks, they also only have an hour's left of oxygen, and the more they panic, the more oxygen they use. This is a great setup, and the director of this movie, Johannes Roberts, really had to come up with ways to be able to shoot these things. As I mentioned, you know, even Spielberg had trouble with how to shoot the underwater sequences or just the sequences with the shark out in the open water in Jaws. You know, this is something that, you know, we, no matter how much you like to swim or how much you like the ocean, we're not aquatic creatures, you know, we can't breathe underwater. So there's definite restrictions on your actors, there's restrictions on the technology. And really, Johannes Roberts had to come up with ways to be able to get these shots done. And 47 Meters Down is great because it works on all those elements. It's not just the sharks that are after you, it's all this other stuff that is really affecting you as well. And it makes for this tight two-person drama, basically, surrounded by sharks. And little by little, you know, Kate and Lisa they're starting to kind of lose it. And we end up having this twist that, you know, it's interesting, I guess. I'm not going to spoil it here, but I guess, you know, one of my really good friends is a huge Mandy Moore fan, so maybe, you know, you might want to skip this one because it's Mandy Moore in peril for 90 minutes. But this movie was so popular that it ended up leading to a sequel, 47 Meters Down Uncaged, in 2019. And once again, Johannes Roberts comes back, and this movie follows a whole different group of people. In this case, it's another pair of sisters who, along with a couple of other teenage girls, end up exploring the submerged Mayan city while with their dad. Unbeknownst to them, this is also a hunting ground for a great white shark. And much like in the last movie, we have not only the shark that's stalking these people, we have the restrictions of their oxygen, and a group of four girls that don't fucking like each other. So getting along long enough to be able to, to work together is difficult for them. This movie ups the kill count from the first one because there's more people involved. And it has this great kind of, it plays this great trick on you where through most of the movie you really feel like because there's, you see glimpses of the shark and it has very distinctive features. It has like scarring on the side of its head and like a milked over eye, like it got attacked, had been attacked or something before. You end up thinking that there's just one shark, and it turns out there's actually a shit ton of sharks that are hunting these poor girls. We follow them as they one by one are picked off and eventually end up in open water. And we end up with this great scene where the girls are trying to get to safety and they see a boat, which is part of a tour. And much like on these tours where they have the glass bottom boats, they throw a bunch of chum into the water so that everyone gets to see the sharks in the safety of the boat, not knowing that there's these two girls trying to get the fuck away from them. This movie's a lot of fun. There's just some really great action and some just really great, you know, shark stuff. Another movie shark movie that I just love because it's just so fucking ridiculous of how it is The Meg from 2018, starring Jason Statham and Bing Bing Lee. We also have Winston Chow, Cliff Curtis, and Rainn Wilson in this movie, and Ruby Rose, unless I forget. Basically, we have these people that are trying to go into a, they have like this huge underwater base to do research. and this base is owned and this by a company owned by Rainn Wilson, and they are doing research into sharks and some of the local wildlife. And unbeknownst to them, they send a submersible into deeper water and end up finding this 70 foot sea creature that turns out to be a megalodon, a gigantic shark that's been extinct for millions of years. This is a shark from dinosaur times. Like, this shark's been extinct forever. But what we end up having is this giant shark that's basically have Jason Statham versus a giant shark. And as ridiculous as it sounds, and I knew this wasn't going to happen, I was hoping that there would be a scene where Jason Statham punches a shark. It doesn't happen, but we do get a bunch of other crazy sequences. This movie is basically what if, kind of going back to the idea of what if Jaws were like an exploitation movie, and that's kind of what this is. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of dumb shit that happens in it. I enjoy the fuck out of the Meg. I wouldn't go so far as to call it a good movie. It's definitely an entertaining movie, but I would not call it good. But I had a blast watching it, and really that's really all that matters. Jason Statham is great in this. Actually, everyone that's in this is really good. Rainn Wilson is just this hateable prick, and his comeuppance is fucking great in this movie. I can't recommend this enough if you just want to just sit back and enjoy like a ludicrous shark movie, something that isn't really scary at all. I mean, there's definite horror elements in it, but hey, come on, man. We got Jason Statham and a 70-foot shark. What are you going to expect? But I've enjoyed this movie. And that's not to say that every movie with like a weird sci-fi premise or a weird like silly premise is good, because I one of the first shark movies that I ever saw outside of Jaws was from 1999, and that's Deep Blue Sea, directed by lovable schlock director Rennie Harlan. Rennie Harlan is a director that he has made some truly terrible movies, but also some really, really fun movies. And Deep Blue Sea, I guess it's supposed to be like a fun movie, but I just think it's terrible. Deep Blue Sea is about these researchers, this group of scientists who are they're trying to find a cure for Alzheimer's disease, and they basically end up doing experiments on sharks to make them smart in order to cure Alzheimer's. How this even makes sense, I have no idea, but it doesn't even matter, because I'm assuming the fun of it is supposed to be have like smart sharks after people, including Thomas Jane and Samuel L. Jackson, and LL Cool J. And I mentioned Samuel L. Jackson because his character is, the whole time you think he's going to be the guy that is going to lead everyone to safety, because this is 1999. This is Sam Jackson as just like, even still to this day, the coolest guy around. But this is Sam Jackson coming off of being in The Phantom Menace. This is Sam Jackson coming off of being in movies like The Long Kiss Goodnight, Pulp Fiction, Jackie Brown. Like, this is just the coolest guy. A guy who doesn't get killed. Well, he doesn't, Jackie Brown, but still. this is just, like, the coolest guy. And then as he's giving this soliloquy, this big old speech about how he's gonna ensure that everyone survives, this shark jumps out the fuck out of nowhere and eats them whole, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? This is also a movie where an LL Cool J survives a shark attack by ripping his cross off his chest and stabbing a shark in the eye with it. So all I could think of is that even though these are super smart sharks, they must be atheists or something, because LL Cool J was, or Satanist, because he was saved by the power of Christ. This movie is fucking stupid. But you know what? If you just want to watch a dumb shark movie, you could do worse. I mean, this is just a movie that I don't know. Maybe I just had higher expectations than what I ended up getting. But I don't care for it. However, I can see why some people really do. Being someone that loves a lot of shitty movies, like, I get it. But and even as I mentioned, within shark movies in general, there are some real, real turds. So if you're going to see something that's pretty bad, you can do a lot worse than Deep Blue Sea. Now, a lot of shark stories are based on, you know, quote unquote, based on true events. And I kind of wanted to finish up with a couple that are based on true events. And that's Open Water from 2003 and The Reef from 2010, which are basically the same story, based on a true incident that happened in Australia. In Open Water, we have a couple who are scuba diving on excursion, and through a mishap, their tour boat leaves them behind. And so then we have these two people out in the water, not submerged, like they're not stuck, but they have nowhere to go. They're out in the middle of nowhere and having to fight the elements trying to survive. And among those elements, they're sharks. And eventually one of them gets cut and those sharks come and attack. And at the end, you know, only one of them is around, and she ends up just giving up and giving in to the inevitable. She resigns to her fate, and it's pretty effective, you know. It's fucking crazy. The Reef tells a very similar story, in which we have this group of friends, four of them, who are in a boat by the Great Barrier Reef when it capsizes due to hitting, I guess, a piece of the reef and cutting up the bottom of the boat, leading to water damage. The boat capsized. They have nowhere to go, you know, and they end up deciding to jump in the water and try to swim to a not so near island, to Turtle Island in Queensland, Australia, which is closer than just kind of staying out in open water. But they attract the attention of a shark, and they basically are hunted during this whole time. Now, this movie, I know that the director of it, Andrew Trauke, had talked about how sharks are a big thing in Australia and a big thing in Australian culture, and he wanted to kind of tell that story from an Australian point of view, because most people in Australia have shark stories, or they definitely have a point of view on sharks. And I think in the end, part of the reason that Jaws was able to kick this off, and that was these movies have continued to be popular with killer sharks, is because it's not so much about the sharks. It's like the sharks almost represent something, because while sharks may not be these killer animals that are just out to get us because we're dinner, they are one of the biggest predators in the water. And someone that, an animal, a creature that has no qualms about ripping into someone in the water, because at the end of the day, we're food. And I think that shark movies, part of the horror of shark movies is that whether it's something like Jaws, where we're off the coast, or it's something like The Reef, or 47 meters down, where we're in the water, we're outside of our element, first of all. As I mentioned, we know we're not fish, we're not aquatic creatures. Yes, humans might love water and might be able to do all sorts of things in the water, or on top of the water, realistically, or within a few meters of the surface. We don't have gills. We can't breathe underwater. You know, you try to breathe underwater, you fucking die. You know, we're land creatures, for the most part. The ocean is unexplored, and in the majority of the ocean, I should say, not like all the ocean, but the majority of the ocean is unexplored. It's the unknown. You know, there's probably as many mysteries within the depths of our oceans as there are in the atmosphere, in our in space. But shark movies end up kind of, I think, being a shorthand for that, and sharks themselves, because we're no longer like the top shit, you know? Yeah, on land there's, you know, bears, and you can get attacked by cougars or tigers, I guess, if you're out in the savannah, or in a mountain, you know, it could happen. But in our day-to-day lives, we're not necessarily, like, who are we fearing? We're fearing other humans, realistically, you know? We're not fearing attacks from alligators, because, not that they don't happen, but I mean, it's not something that's going to happen. If you're in the water, it's very likely that something could happen with a creature that sees you just as food. And I think that's what sharks represent, and I think that's where a lot of the fear comes from, and I think that's why shark movies are still being made to this day. That's it for today. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back tomorrow.